أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers and sisters, we are in the month of Sha'ban. Month of Sha'ban is what number in the Islamic calendar?
Eight.
Muharram, Safar, Rabi' Awal, Rabi' Thani, Jamadi Awal, Jamadi Thani, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. These are the months. So when we talk about Sha'ban, Sha'ban comes between Rajab and between Ramadan. The reason I said that, you will see how important that is to know. Sha'ban comes from the word Sha'ba. Sha'ba. Why they call it Sha'ban? There are some opinions on that. It says that people, the Arabs, used to split in different areas when they want to attack one another or when they are looking for the war. They used to do that during that month. So they call it from that. Another meaning, it is a gap between the month of Rajab and the month of Ramadan. This is the month of Sha'ban. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasumu hatta naqulu la yuftir, wa yuftiru hatta naqulu la yasum, wa ma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam istakmala siyama shahrin illa Ramadan. وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ أَكْثَرَ صِيَامٍ مِّنْهُ فِي شَعْبَانٍ. Look at this hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha tells you how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to welcome Ramadan during the month of Sha'ban. And what is the virtue of the month of Sha'ban? Naturally, we look at the acts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did. Aisha said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast in the month of Sha'ban so much to the point that we think that he doesn't break the fast any day, meaning he fasts all the month of Sha'ban. And he used to not fast to the point that they say he does not fast. And she said, I have never seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished and perfected a complete month of fasting than Ramadan. And I have never seen him fasting so much in any month than Sha'ban. Conclusion. He fasts so much from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Sha'ban, but he never fasted completely. This is as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said. Ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never, yani he went with the opinion, he never fasted the month of Sha'ban completely. Aisha radiallahu anha also said that, مَا عَلِمْتُهُ أَيِّ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam صَامَ شَهْرًا كُلَّهُ إِلَّا رَمَضَانَ. I've never known about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting a complete month except Ramadan. So this is confirming the fact that he never fasted sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the complete month of Sha'ban. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma also said, confirming what Aisha radiallahu anha said, مَا صَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَهْرًا كَامِلًا إِلَّا رَمَضًا. He said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never fasted a complete month except Ramadan. Ibn Hajar, one of the great scholars of the Muslims, he said, rahimahullah, كان صيامه في شعبان تطوعا أكثر من صيامه فيما سواه وكان يصوم معظم شعبان. Now you have Ramadan obligations, other fasting, voluntary. He said, Ibn Hajar radiallahu anhu, he said, the fasting of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the month of Sha'ban, voluntary, was more than any fasting in any other month. This is what he said, rahimahullah ibn Hajar. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, He said, قال قلت يا رسول الله لم أرك تصوم من شهر من الشهور ما تصوم من شعبان. He said, I've never seen you fast any months as much as you fast during the month of Sha'ban. And this is a question by the companion, which is leading or looking for why? Because they want to follow, they want to act, they want to benefit. This is the advantage of the person when he does not know to ask. فَهَلَّا إِذَا جَهِلْتُمْ سَأَلْتُمْ. When you don't know, ask. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. When you don't know, go to someone, he knows. In our worldly matters, we always look for the best. Go for the best doctor. Go for the best engineer. Go for the best accountant. Go for the best builder. But when it comes to our religion, not only we don't go for the best, we don't even ask, even the worst. Why? Because either it's not that important to us, or we think we know it. Or if you don't know it, and you do it anyway, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. He's not going to put me in hell simply because I did not ask a question. Too much reliance on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a great mercy. It's so big, too much, bigger than heavens and earth. But for those who deserve it, it's not for everyone. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. If you are a muhsin, which is better and a higher level than a person who is mu'min. You have Muslim, mu'min, muhsin. Muhsin is the highest level. This is the person who qualifies for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why you do that? See, in the first hadith, we said that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he doesn't. And he fasted, as Aisha radiallahu anhu said. Now, we want to know why. Look what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ذَاكَ شَهْرٌ تَغْفَلُ النَّاسُ فِيهِ عَنْهِ. This is a month people don't remember. They're heedless. They're inattentive to that month. They don't remember it. And look what, or how important it is. It is between Rajab and Ramadan. It comes between the month of Rajab and the month of Ramadan. This is very important to know, and we'll tell you later on what's the significance of a month that comes between Rajab and Ramadan, which tells you why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. He said, وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Imagine, this is a month that your deeds will ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he added sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَالِحٌ. I want my deeds to be lifted, ascending up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm fasting. Why? Because fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi, as-siyamu li wa ana adzi bihi. Fasting is for me. All other acts is for you. Fasting is for me, special for me. And I reward for it. This angel doesn't know what to put, what to write. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell him what to write. Leave it. Just say he fasted. Right? He fasted. I'll take care of that in the day of judgment. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that, you know it's a great reward. Because you are getting it from the one who controls everything, has everything. All this dunya not equal to a wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine the big reward that you are going to receive when you do that. We have other days that the action ascends to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Monday and Thursdays. So when it comes to months, Sha'ban. When it comes to days, Monday and Thursday. And look at the significance to those days and to the when the actions ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept, or your action will not ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have what? If you have a problem between you and your brother. إِلَّا رَجُلٌ أَوْ رَجُلَيْنْ بَيْنَهُمَا شُحَنَا. يُقَالْ لِلْمَلَكْ أُنْظُرْهُمْ أَوْ أُنْظُرُوهُمْ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحُمْ. If you have a brother that you have a problem with him, whether you are guilty or not, shake his hand. Give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be the big one. Don't destroy your deeds simply because of another person. Your actions will not ascend. This is a problem that we have. People don't care much. وَخَيْرُهُمَ الَّذِي يَبْدَعُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The best among you is the one who says, Assalamu alaikum. Yes, brother, but he is the one who did for me, and I am a big person, and I am knowledgeable, and I am so and so. It doesn't matter who you are. When you give up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. The person who forgives and shows patience, he is the one who is following the right and doing the right affairs. This is the best of deeds, the best of actions that you can do if you forgive. Even if you have the right to get what you are oppressed from your brother, you get it. And talking about that, it brings to my attention, I remember a hadith that really breaks the heart. Referring to someone who had a problem with another person. He's being oppressed by another person. رَجُلَانِ جَثَيَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Two men on their knees before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for judgment or asking for judgment. يَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا يَا رَبِّ خُذْ لِي مَظْلَمَتِي. One person says, Oh Allah, I want you to get my right from him. I couldn't do it. I lost in court. I lost with the shaykh. I lost with reconciliation. Nothing worked with this person. I need it now. فَأَكُولُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَعْطِهِ مَظْلَمَتَهُ. Go ahead, give him what you have taken from him. فَيَكُولُ رَبِّي قَدْ فَنِيَ الْحَسَنَاتِ. I have done so many horrible things, I don't have any good deeds to give, because this is how you deal with people, with hasanah. It's not you pay him money or he hits you like you hit him, no. Hasanah, good deeds. He had given all the good deeds, he doesn't have anything to give him. فَيَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ رَبِّي حُطَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَوْزَارِي. He wants it. Take from my sins and put it on him. فبكى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال إنه ليوم عظيم. He صلى الله عليه وسلم cried and he said, this is a major stand, a major day. It's not a joke. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Jathiyah, وترى كل أمة جاثية كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون. When you look and you see every nation on their knees from the fear, from the horror of that day, they cannot stand. Every nation is called to its book, to follow its prophet. Today you're going to be judged for what you have done. This is our book describing everything that you have done with absolute justice because we were right in everything that you were doing. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ لَحَفْظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. Angels here, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُ. They know what you're doing. They're writing. أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَى وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. They think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware of their open speech and hide or secret speech and plans and evil plans. Indeed not. Our messengers are writing everything. Allah knows it subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are writing it. Earth is going to speak out. The day of judgment, everything you have done on this earth is going to testify. It's either for you or against you. This particular sitting, the place where you sit, is going to speak out for you, brothers. This is the virtue of being in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the virtue of being in the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see you. Because all those places are going to speak out for you. And that's why it is some of the companions, when you pray, you move from your spot and you pray the sunnah in a different spot. You know why? Looking for more spots to testify for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deeds are going to ascend during this month. This is the month of Sha'ban. Yaqul Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, Ibn Rajab, one of the great scholars, he said, صيام شعبان أفضل من صيام الأشهر الحرم وأفضل التطوع ما كان قريبا من رمضان قبله أو بعده وتكون منزلته من الصيام بمنزلة الرواتب مع الفرائض قبلها أو بعدها وهي تكمله للنقص. Look how he showed us why Sha'ban is so important. He said, it's more important than the sacred months. Guess what? Rajab is a sacred month. It's one of the sacred months. Ramadan is the best of the months. Sacred month, the best of the months, something in the middle. Too much concentration on Rajab, too much concentration on Ramadan, Sha'ban is squeezed out. Forgot. ذَاكَ شَهْرٌ يَغْفَلُ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ. This is a month people don't remember. Why? Because of the place where it came. So Ibn Rajab radiallahu anhu rahimahullah yaqul, Sha'ban is a month better than the sacred month Rajab or any other month. And to make voluntary acts closer to the obligatory act before it or after it is better than doing it any other time. And when you do the voluntary act or the acts that the Prophet ﷺ was steadfast on, it is better than the acts that you do it every now and then. Now, we know that we pray how many rak'ah every day? Fard? 17. Sunnah how many? 12 or 10. Okay. So, those 12 or 10, are they, let's say that you don't pray the sunnah with dhuhr and with maghrib and isha and fajr. Instead, after dhuhr, later on, just before asr, you pray 10 or 12 rak'ah. Voluntary. Is it equivalent to the sunnah that you do with the salah? Both of them are voluntary. Are they equal?
No.
No. Because they're closer to the prayer. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was steadfast in doing it because they're closer to the prayer. When you will make wudu, and you know why you're making wudu, to prepare yourself for the salah. Right? Then you say Allahu Akbar, two rak'ah like for dhuhr sunnah. Or, if you don't do that, two rak'ah because you made wudu. The sunnah of wudu. What does that mean to you? Okay, going to wash yourself for the salah. Remember, you're doing steps for the major step. You made the wudu, your mind is set. Now you're getting closer to the major act that you need to pay attention. You need to humble yourself. You need to understand what you're doing. You need to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Then you go. You pray the sunnah or the sunnah of the wudu. What are you doing now? It's like I'm practicing for the major salah. This one, if I have some shortcomings, it's extra. This is like you have a basketball game. You see the people there taking and shooting for the hoops and everything. Why are you doing this? We're practicing for the major game. So if we mess up, let's mess up now, not in the real game, because we want to be prepared for it. This is what salah, brothers, does to you. This is what wudu does to you. This is what sitting, waiting for the imam does to you. It intensifies your thoughts for the salah as you get closer to it, and it makes you more attentive. Take that. Someone made wudu, prayed, sunnah, and then made salah. Compare that person to a person already have the wudu, and he just came and went, Allahu Akbar. Definitely you will have a difference, major difference in that attention, attentiveness of that person and this person. The one who had the steps is more attentive, more ready, more guided. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing that, number one, because it is closer to the month, before it, as we mentioned, or even if it's after it, it will be that, but here preparation for it before it. This is a month that people are heedless. In the hadith, what do we understand, brothers? We understand that certain things, certain names of months, sacred days or sacred months or sacred things, sometimes something comes that is more sacred than them in a certain time. Yani, when you say, this is the best, it is the best now, generally, but certain times something else may come and it will be better than that. When we talk about Ashur al-Hurum, the sacred months, naturally they are of a high rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Sha'ban comes, it's not higher than Sha'ban. Before Sha'ban or after Sha'ban, it is, but not with Sha'ban. So this is an example. The companions used to do what? You have the time of Maghrib and Isha. They call it Al-Isha al-Ula and Isha al-Akhir. Al-Isha al-Ula is Maghrib time. Isha al-Akhir is the real Isha time. Companions used to do their sunnah or the voluntary sunnah between Maghrib and Isha a lot. You know why? Because at that time, most people are heedless. They don't do that. They pray Maghrib quickly and they go and they wait for Isha. They don't do much prayers there. So the companions used to do it so they can revive that simply to follow the hadith, like this is a month people are heedless and this is a time that people are heedless and we're going to revive it because the reward for it is more. When we talk about market, the companions used to go to the market for the purpose of saying salam, and they know it's the worst places in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in there unless you have a need or you are a merchant person. So you're going to the market, a hated place by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what do you need to do? You need to go revive it with remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because people don't do that. They're heedless, they're busy. It's an evil place. Looking and trading and swearing and counting cash and money and you name it. Every kind of evil you find it there. So people don't have time to make tasbih or to say salamu alaykum or such. The companions used to go so they can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place where people don't remember Him. And at the same time remind people who don't remember. Look at this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ليست العبادة في الهرج كالهجرة إليه. الهرج يعني أيام الفتنة، كثرة القتل وكثرة الفتن. العبادة فيها كالهجرة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لماذا؟ لأن الناس يتبعون أهواءهم، فيكون المتنسك يقوم بعمل شاق. Because during that time, people are following their whims and desires. For you to come and to do a service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while people are following their desires and not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's hard. It's very hard. Because think, when you pray jama'ah, you look around you, you go, mashallah, the masjid is full. Tomorrow when you come, you're gonna go, it's hard. You say, it can't be hard. More than 300 people come to Isha prayer. Why should I be the one who's sitting at home? All of these people cannot be better than me. Then you come at Fajr. You find a line or two. You look around you, you go, boy, it's very hard to come to Fajr. So if you don't come to it, you start thinking, well, do I hear the adhan or I don't hear the adhan? Do I have a rukhsa or I don't have a rukhsa? Am I traveling or not traveling? How much is the distance from the masjid? And you start finding yourself excuses so you don't come to that. Why? Because people are little. When you have too many people doing the act, it makes it easy. Imagine when we say, we need some help to clean up the masjid. And you are excited and you come and you look around, you can't even find the person who's supposed to organize the event. You look around you and you look outside and you see the paper and everything outside. You look again and you look at yourself and you go, I can't do all of this. Nobody's here, nobody cares. Why should I be the one who's going to do all of this? I'm not in charge for everything. But when you come and you find people left and right, come on brothers, let's go, okay, if you pick a couple of them, we'll finish in 5-10 minutes. Yeah, you look around, this brother's grabbing, you look. Even if you are on crutches, you go and pick up something. Because it makes it easy. Help. When you see someone in a problem, it makes you relax, even if you have the same problem. But yet, when you find yourself headache, everyone around you is having fun and drinking their coffee and, oh boy, this is the worst headache that you can ever think of. Death is better than that headache. But when you want to, can I have a tablet, some aspirin, and say, well, I have a headache. You know, brother, I took already two. I have a headache too. I don't know. I guess it's pollen in the air or something. Wow. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Pollen in the air. He has the same problem like me. And he looks like he's talking to people and he's having trouble. Why should I sit in a corner or go home? No, I can be like him. He's not better than me. He's not tougher than me. All of those feelings, brother, it is stripped from you the day of judgment. You don't feel jealousy. Especially when you talk about the people of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. People, when they are in the hellfire, they cannot say, oh well, look. You know, when we talk about from every 1,000, 999 go into hell, one person go into jannah. You can imagine. You don't have a place to put your foot there, but you don't. Won't anyway. But you think people would look and go, wow, look how many people are here. I guess I'm not the only one. No. This feeling is taking from you. Looking at the whole world in there is not going to make you feel a little bit better. Why? Because it is punishment. The person, the least person to be punished in the hellfire, a burning coal put in the bottom of his foot makes his brain boil. This is the least punishment. But look, what is he thinking? I am the worst in the hellfire when it comes to punishment. Nobody has any punishment worse than me. This is the worst punishment that anyone could think of. And he is the least. Why? Because he cannot look and say, oh, look at that one he's getting. He is concentrating in his own. The jealousy is not there. the feeling is not there, nothing is going to alleviate. Therefore, when you do an act that people are not doing it like you, it makes the service hard. And when you do an act without looking and intending for hardship, meaning you do it the way it is, according to the Sunnah, when it's hard to do, the reward is greater. Example, you want to make wudu. It is cold. And you don't have a heater. You don't have hot water like back home. You have to make wudu. So you go make wudu. You're not looking for hardship. This is the way it is. You need to make wudu and it's cold. I made wudu. The reward is bigger than a person who's sitting in his home, the water is hot, and made wudu. Why? Because you suffered more. But for a person to have the hot water and cold water outside, he goes outside to make the wudu because he wants to get more reward, he doesn't. He made it worse on himself. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to impose the hardship on you. He brought this religion to make it easy on you. Something that you can bear. Something that enlightens you to ask for more, not to hate the act. But if this is the way, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِسْبَاءُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَانِ. When it's very hard to make good wudu, and you do good wudu, this is so much rewarding. What do people when it's cold? Quickly. And you come here, you know, you take your kids, you know, watch your kids. Say, even when it's hot, you know, just go near, it's dry over here. They go, no, it's not all right here. Come here, look and see. Get the flashlight and brother, just make a nice wudu. Every time you make the wudu, the sins fall from between your fingers, falls from your mouth, falls from your nose, falls off your face, falls off your arms, off your hair, off your ear, off your feet. Boy, you're white already. Now imagine you're going to get to the salah and all the sins are going to be put on you. The brother is saying, I don't have any sins. You don't know, brother, how good you made your wudu. This is like Ramadan. Fasting will erase your sins. Taraweeh will erase your sin. The 27th, Laylatul Qadr, erase you. By the way, don't catch that on me and don't record it. It's not on the 27th. Laylatul Qadr is not on the 27th, brother. You hear that, brother?
It's fasting days.
It is any of the 10 days, the last 10 days of Ramadan. More closely and more precisely, the odd numbers. More closely and more precisely, the 27th. But it's not the 27th. And if you want to look from the last 10 days, which is the closest to catch Laylatul Qadr? The odd days. And which is the more probable? The 27th. If you look for that, more than likely you're not going to get it. You know why? Because I want you to do all the 10 so you can say, Wallahi, I witnessed Laylatul Qadr. And you don't need to fast 3 days for that, Wallahi. You know, some of the brothers, I read something when you talk about believing in Qada wa Qadr. How some people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on an edge. Meaning when things are going good, Islam is the best and religion is good and life is wonderful. When something goes bad, he gives up. Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah mentioned about like not you know, a crazy person, but not literally crazy. He has a donkey, a sick donkey. So he vowed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals his donkey, he would fast 7 days for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sure enough, the donkey healed. So he fasted. As soon as he finished the last day, his donkey died. You know what he did? He said, by Allah, I'm going to deduct it from Ramadan. So this person was not fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not sincere. So you always see things happening and you think the person's brother's intention is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. You have no idea what people do and to whom they do it. He did fast. If someone sees him, mashallah, he fasted 7 days, brother. He must love that donkey. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he actually was doing it like, give me, I give you. If you take, I'm not going to do anything for you. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at these times. When there is hardship, you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast a lot during the month of Sha'ban? Some of the scholars said that he used to continuously fast 13, 14, and 15th of every month. And sometimes he is on expeditions, he is busy, he doesn't fast. And he used to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make up all the sunnah that he used to do. When he misses it, he makes it up. So they said he makes up everything that he misses during the month of Sha'ban. This is an opinion. Another opinion, it is the correct opinion because people are heedless from that month and they don't remember it. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does it. And when you fast during the month of Sha'ban, what are you doing? You're practicing also for the month of Ramadan. So when the month of Ramadan comes, it's not very hard. Nowadays, we know fasting is a little bit difficult. You talk about almost 8:30 to break your fast. This is a long time. We haven't been used to it. So if you fast some of those days in Sha'ban, I don't know if you have iftar program. Most of the masajid they have Monday and Thursday at least, iftar program. So if you have iftar program here, fast for those days. I know a brother, he will be volunteering to bring you a sheep for every day, but you know, you have to put some achar on it. The sheep is there, but it's not cooked. If you want, do you have a flag? You do? Yes. Somebody paid for it already?
Just dates.
Dates? Yeah, haram. Dates, well, you know, maybe we'll give you the sheep and you go cook it somewhere. Just go camping. But alhamdulillah, whether you have it or you don't, it is a great opportunity for all of us to do that. There are many things that we need to talk about the month of Sha'ban, but I will leave you with this. إن قال قائل لماذا يكره الصيام قبل رمضان مباشرة؟ Why is it hated to fast directly before Ramadan? Because when we talk about fasting the month of Sha'ban, you need to avoid fasting the last 2 days. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from doing that. Why is it this line? Some of the scholars said because you don't want to add certain days to the month of Ramadan where people will start feeling like Ramadan is not 29 or 30 days, it's 32. Because you fast 2 days and you get steadfast for it. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited fasting during Eid. Why? Because it is a sign fasting is over. It's done. It's haram to fast the day of Eid. And there is the day that we doubt if it's Ramadan or not. This is definitely would be the last day. It's hated to also do it. And when you talk about fasting, obligation and voluntary, it is good to have a break in between. You don't connect them together, like a two-fold together. Can you bring two-fold together? Can you? Yes, if you're traveling. If you're traveling, you combine. So when you finish the first part, after you say Salaam Alaikum, say something. Don't just go Allahu Akbar for the second one. It is hated to connect them together. You need to have a break in between. Say something, read something, or talk to some brother, or say Salaam Alaikum, and then go and do it. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, he saw a person praying Fajr when the Salat is starting. He looked at him and he said, As-Sukhfu Arba'an, is Fajr 4 Raka'an? Yani now you can say, Salaamu Alaikum, Salaamu Alaikum, Allahu Akbar. Enter with the other Salat. It is hated to do that. So this is another reason for doing that. So brother, we are in the month of Sha'ban. This is the sixth day of Sha'ban or seventh?
Today is fifth.
So how many days you have?
It's fifth.
You have 25 days more? Could be 24. And last two, you don't want to do it. So deduct from that. I think if you fast 2 to 4 days from Sha'ban, I'm not going to impose too much on you, you will taste the sweetness, inshallah, and prepare you for Ramadan, and you can have an idea if you're going to have a headache, or how much you need to eat in the morning, or how much you need to drink, what kind of work you need to do, and all of that, you practice. Because if some hardship happens, what do? Break the day. It's not an obligation. But in Ramadan, you don't want to do that. So, for the reward of it, any brothers here having hardship with one another, fighting? All of you happy campers?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. No hatred, no animosity. That's why you're all sitting in one huddle. This is like one brother. I took my children one time the other day to breakfast. We're all sitting on the table. One son sat over there, and the other one sat over there. And one brother said, "Why your children are not sitting here?" I looked at him and said, "Why you look like you just had a fight together? Everyone is sitting there." But I know that most of us have back problems, right? Especially the young ones. The old ones and people over 40, they sit in the middle. Because alhamdulillah, their back is very strong and healthy. They had practice, but the young ones, you know, they're just treading themselves. The brothers, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I honestly enjoy every second coming here and talking to you and addressing you. And I know, not sometimes, a lot of times I go overboard with the time. And I just get so excited that I want to pass good news to you, hoping that you act on some of it. Maybe we all can be, inshallah, together in the Jannah with the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs, inshallah. And loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest and the strongest act of service in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't love you for your money because I know you don't have it. It is a pleasure to give me the opportunity to pass what I know to you. Because without you, I'm useless. I have it and I keep it to myself. Alhamdulillah that you are here, continue to be here, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you and pass whatever you learn to your wives, because they are the most deserving of your knowledge, and saving them so they can be in heaven with you. Brother, I don't see you excited. Wallahi, brother, the day you go to heaven and you see your wife in heaven, you're going to wish that you have married for. Because they're going to be so beautiful there, you're not going to look much at the Hur al-Ayn. But I know it's very hard to imagine these days. But when you go there, at least trust the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust the word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajmal nisa, your wife. So you definitely want to save her and take her to heaven, because you will be missing a lot. Besides, at least love her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you have